Good day, and welcome to the Hashtag Music Ed Love podcast. I'm so excited. Today I'm here with three, including myself, of my good friends here at an assessment where we decided all of us music educators together in the same room should talk. So quickly, I'll go around the room so you know who's here. So,
I'm Steve Hootsinas from Grassfield High School in Chesapeake, Virginia.
Yay!
Yeah, Brent Eidelman. I'm a cello player and string teacher from Hanover County, Virginia.
Also, Don Brubaker is here. He's coming right back, and I'll let him introduce himself when he comes back. Any moment now. So we're going to play Music Ed, Would You Rather?
Would You Rather?
Yes. We're so excited.
Here's our first one.
Question number one. Would you rather have a student who plays perfectly in tune with no emotion or a student who plays really emotional with no intonation?
100% really emotional. I'm just going to say, I'm sorry, I'm out of control, but I would much rather them like put energy and soul and heart into it and for it to sound terrible, but for them to have that backing joy and love behind it. And that's me being obsessed with like students telling a story and trying to convey something, even if they don't do it successfully. I really want that.
Wait, you agree with that?
Absolutely. That's what I said.
Who said that?
Brubaker said.
Oh, Don's the opposing one.
He said, left. At middle school, I would take intonation over feeling all day long.
Well, intonation can be rough in middle school.
If you have the base of intonation down, you can then improve from there. But can you really go back and improve intonation once a kid's already onto the bravado of emotion?
That's true. It's pretty challenging.
So what's your answer?
Intonation.
Oh, so we have a 50-50.
Well, right now we have a 60-30 split, and I'm the odd man out.
Oh, well, Don's coming back. We know what he believes.
He already said it. He already gave us an answer.
Your punishment for being out?
Siren judge. You have to be by yourself.
Yes. Open ease for the rest of your life.
Oh, gosh.
I'm just kidding.
Here's
I'm sorry.
Rather.
Okay.
For as far as concert programming, is it better to program super cheesy pop music that everybody comes to and impresses the entire community, but then it's cheesy pop music. I probably hate cheesy pop music on strings. Or schedule a traditional strings concert with music that we all know and love, knowing that the audience most likely is either not going to get it or just not like it straight up. Because I feel like that's a predicament we have.
Yes.
Absolutely. It's a great
big
question.
Big time.
I'm going to say, does it have to be either or? Can it be both and?
Give me a situation.
For instance, my spring concert every year is a crowd favorite concert.
Okay.
Like this year, we're doing, I was telling them earlier, Grammys through the decades. And we're doing red carpet, paparazzi, the whole thing, cameras. And we're doing like the best TV show soundtracks of the 80s. And we're going to do a clip from Hill Street Blues and a clip from this one. And the winner is going to be Friends. And we'll show a video. Well, the music's not great music, but it'll be fun.
But now, when you say it's not great music, you mean it's not necessarily teachable music, because it's easy and the kids are most likely going to get it just fine.
Correct. It's
okay,
more about
right.
the show than it is about the quality.
Exactly.
Of the music.
It's more about the show. Now, how do we get that mindset into the mindsets of the planners of, like, say, the Richmond Symphony? Because ticket sales are dropping.
Yeah.
Drastically, because they stick with Brahms, Beethoven.
Yeah.
Well, the Virginia Symphony's getting it because they're doing.
Okay.
They did Home Alone.
Exactly.
The whole soundtrack.
That's
they did
awesome.
Harry Potter soundtrack, and they played to it, and they've done. But some of the other symphonies are not getting it right.
Yeah. See, I want variety, and I want people to know that you can play good music on strings, contemporary music, because that gets them into the door at least. I don't know. Yeah, it's debatable. I know some very conservative programmers that only. If it's past 1900, it's like it always not played.
That kills me. Why? There's great music past 1900. That's not even pop music. Like Mason Bates. Oh my goodness. Or Howard Hanson. Some of the Howard Hanson symphonies.
Yeah.
Oh, just steal my heart, Howard Hanson. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, we got guys, big name guys that were in the 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
You know.
True.
Maybe 1900. That was too.
No, it's okay, but I think that you're right to some degree. We need to bridge the gap there. There's a pretty big perception that classical musicians are all snobby, and I think that that still exists today, unfortunately, and
exactly.
We need to break that. So.
Correct.
Okay, I think
come back later.
We love you, podcast friends.
Here's
Don't forget.
A quick quick break and a word from our sponsors.
Yes. Okay, don't forget on hashtag Music Ed Love to subscribe and write us a review. Make sure it's a 5-star review because we love you. Okay, bye for now.
I'm going to try to eat these.
So New Hanover High School? Or Hanover?
We're back, by the way, to the podcast, but we're just chatting right now. No, go ahead.
It's brought to you by Milton's Gluten-Free Crispy Sea Salt Crackers.
It's Costco, not, but...
big bag stuff.
Yeah, but Milton's and Costco, if you'd like to sponsor the show, we would be happy to take your money.
Podcast at 11:18 at night after hearing 20 orchestras.
That's right. Day. This is some serious dedication we have in this room.
So for those listeners, for the listeners out there, we just got off of like a 12-hour day of listening to a ton of grooves.
Yes. And we will be listening to 60 groups, is that right?
Total.
60 groups over 3 days. So it's going to be a long few days for us. But
I hear the same 4 songs.
Oh, dude.
Brent's the sight-reading judge.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
But I'm seeing a pattern.
You're seeing a pattern.
The last time I judged with you, you were the sight-reading judge.
Oh, well, he's a...
You must be good at it.
I was going to say, he's a really good teacher. So, like, he gets you get to talk
that.
To them a little bit, right?
I'm going to give it to you guys. I'm gonna do that
okay.
One. Yeah, I like doing it.
It's good. It's good.
I'll say the best ones were the ones that just had the students' attention the entire time.
Hmm. If you miss something in your teaching in the 7 minutes, but if you told them there's E-flats in this piece...
Yeah.
And then they play an E-flat wrong. How are you going to criticize them? She taught it. Sight reading is about teaching.
I thought the sight reading was about the way the students... I mean, then that means we're giving a score to the teacher purely.
Sight reading... Well, it's not purely, but sight reading is more about the teacher because it's what they taught and said. Then why give me... Why be in there with me during the 7 minutes?
If the That's an interesting
minutes
point.
Isn't really the focus. And I'm not...
Yeah.
I'm not trying to criticize.
I like your socks, but...
Thanks. What do you see tomorrow's gonna be crazy too.
His socks have minions on them, by the way.
And my 2-year-old loves them.
And they're actually bouncing up and down and going, hey! It's so great.
If you were wearing them, they'd be bouncing up and down. But it's an interesting thought, isn't it?
Yeah, but you're good.
So, no, I was asking because I don't know how other states do it. I've never judged outside of Virginia.
Me either.
So, in North Carolina, it's very similar to Virginia. Because I haven't judged there, though. But our sight reading, they record the performance itself. So at least when I was there, that was
they record
oh, like 8 years ago.
What are their comments about, though?
Their comments, they do comment on the preparation, for sure. But I'm trying to remember if the comments are purely about... No, they're definitely not purely about the performance. But like if they're more focused on the teacher or the students.
Well, the
you
last
know?
Of the 7 categories, which you know it really well, is use of preparatory time.
Okay.
Yep.
So that's the main focus for the prep time. That
sure, sure.
But I don't know.
That's interesting.
It's two very different views. I mean, one of you said it. It's judging the teacher versus judging the product, I guess.
Yeah.
It's judging the process versus the product.
There you go. Process versus the product.
And I want to see music become more about process.
Me too.
Product.
I'm with you there.
Kids are worried about a score. Kids are rats hiding about a score. Did you play well?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she didn't like it today.
So really quickly, I did all day. I have made comments on their prep time. I just haven't recorded their prep time.
They're gonna top by on this.
Yeah. Oh.
I get that Across the Wind mixed up a lot. But
oh yeah.
Across
yeah.
the Wind.
There's a piece called Across the Wind too. It's like a green. It's a 3. It's not that bad.
All these names. Yeah. They start to blend together. Dragon Slayer. Dragon Dances,
Dragon Hunter.
Dragon Hunter.
We heard 3 different.
I'm going to write one, and I'm going to call it Dragon Breath. It's going to be so good.
Dragon Breath.
At one point, the violas.
Dragon
Drop.
Violas are going to stand up and go.
Yes. And then the cellos are going to fall out of their chairs.
I like this idea.
It's going to be so great. I think we need to talk to Don Brubaker, who's
not
here right
here
now, to help me compose this piece. Oh my
we
goodness!
We don't know what room Don is in, or we could go ring the doorbell.
We should go raid Don's room.
We can find out his number. I'll just be like, hey, we have a judges meeting.
Yes.
Can you tell me what room Don's
Dude,
in?
We should ring his door.
No, I'm at 413.
Oh,
okay.
418.
She's in 218.
Maybe Don's 318.
Oh man, if he's in
318,
I'm just gonna ring 318 no matter what. Somebody's gonna answer.
Are you gonna do a musical ring like dun 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 dun?
I did Jingle Bells, ding, but I didn't do the rest of it. So.
For those of you that didn't get to hear the doorbell ring, it sounds like a fire alarm going off.
Okay.
Brent's gonna go ring the doorbell again so that you can have the pleasure of hearing it right now.
Sounds like crickets.
It's so bad. I'm so sorry. We're out of control here on this podcast. So, okay, do we want to continue playing Would You Rather?
I wrote down really bad ideas.
Oh, okay.
You wrote them down?
Let's go. Pick one.
These are good ideas, but okay. These are really bad ideas.
It's okay. What do you got?
I think I already know the answer to this one. Would you rather have a really good player on a really bad instrument or a really bad player on a really good instrument?
I'd rather have a really good player on a bad instrument.
Same. Cha-ching.
But we're talking like really...
Doesn't matter. Okay. Palatino? Sure, are we allowed to say brands?
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, I hate Palatino.
They won't sponsor us.
VSO. Yeah, Palatino, you should not sponsor us. I'm so sorry.
We hate you. I don't use the word hate very often.
String teachers unite against you. I'm so sorry.
You're untunable.
Yes.
You're pegged.
Yes.
And then the what is that really crappy electric brand? Cecilia?
Oh my gosh. Wait. Oh my gosh.
I've had so many kids come up because they see my electric cello and they want to get something. Mm-hmm. I have a good Yamaha electric violin, and then they'll go get a Cecilia and they'll be like, look, it was only $200. Because it sounds bad.
I think their strings are made out of like electric fence wire, and I think that the instrument itself is made out of like old plastic dishes. I just
don't buy dishes.
Yeah, melt Cecilia. It together and put into a violin.
Primo, all those just bad.
Mm-hmm. We struggle with this.
Okay, so what would you rather put on a great concert with your kids or take them on an amazing trip?
Oh,
that is a good one.
I know my answer. You go ahead.
I'd take him on an amazing... Well, okay, wait. Let me ask.
You're performing on the trip.
I'd take him on the trip. 100%. Yeah, I think it'd be so great.
But the trip performance is not as good as if you did the performance at home.
No, because it's...
So that's the would you rather. That's what makes it about.
That's it, yes.
Okay.
But I still think I'd take him on the trip. Because I think that experience is so motivating, like, to be on a trip where you're getting to see a new place with all of your friends, building that social identity.
That's why my numbers are out there.
Yeah, students love that. And it makes a really big difference with their development as a musician, I think, to say, oh, I'm going on a trip with my orchestra, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
That's really, really powerful.
Yeah, and you build rapport with the kids.
Yeah.
Well, I would say trip by far. Even if we tank the
performance, yeah.
A trip builds such good memories.
Yes.
And when your kids are loyal, they work way harder.
Unless the trip is like the trip from the 80s that we had 2 years ago.
Tell us
Not
about
me,
your trip.
The chorus.
What's the worst thing that happened on the trip?
Yeah, tell us.
They got the norovirus.
What?
And they were leaving town and couldn't make it out of Orlando and ended up at the hospital.
Oh my gosh.
Man,
that's
bad.
Awful.
And they had to quarantine the bus. And the chorus teacher stayed for 3 days because he couldn't keep anything down. The kids they got on my bus, my 81 passenger double decker. And that the bus company got me 2 buses to replace it.
Oh, good.
Okay.
And, but it was, so when they got back to Grassfield, yes, my school, they pulled the parking lot and Fox News was on.
No way. Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
Big
so they're famous. And they...
Yeah,
for throwing up.
Screen time.
I actually think that they should be the subject for my new piece of music coming out in 2019.
Dragon Breath.
Oh, God.
Yeah, their breath was... I mean, kids were sleeping in the hospital.
Oh, my gosh, that's awful. But
oh,
everybody was
so
okay.
That is a terrible trip.
Yeah, and they
okay.
still talk about it.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. That's some serious team building.
It made the orchestra look really good because we
yeah.
didn't sick.
That's true. Everybody's like, join the orchestra. They don't get sick.
They don't get sick.
They've got all the immunity over there.
Okay, would you rather
Ooh.
Be top, you're a cellist and you're a violinist.
Okay.
Top-notch cellist or violinist or a top-notch conductor?
Oh, would I rather be, personally?
You.
Performer, for sure.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to my conducting friends. I don't really value, as a public school teacher, I don't see, I hate to say this, I don't see as much value in, like, artistic conducting, especially at most of our grades. Now, when you're in high school, it's really powerful and can be really incredible, but I believe that, you know, your abilities on an instrument are going to transfer to your students and make a much bigger difference personally.
Correct.
than your abilities with a stick.
Yep.
But I love you all.
See, I think I'd rather, because I accomplished so much already with my violin, I really want to be a great accompanist.
But if you weren't a great player, do you think that you'd still be able to accomplish those things, you know? Or a decent player. I'm not a great player, trust me. But
lots of friends that are, they were average players. They're really good conductors.
Yeah.
I don't think they go hand in hand.
But do you mean conductors or like rehearsers? You know, because I feel like the art of conducting itself is very much a one-time, you're putting on a presentation for people, essentially. So I feel like a conductor is very much like a visual thing, but rehearsing a group is, I don't know, I don't feel like that's the same as...
Yeah, maybe they're not the same. So what are you trying to improve on right now?
What am I?
In your musical life.
Oh, that's a good question. Right now, I struggle a lot with the bow, personally. I feel like bow usage and placement still, I hear some of these groups tonight, and I'm like, wow, the clarity is phenomenal. And I don't get that out of my groups. I've never gotten that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wonder if it's like, I know it's a bow thing. So I need to...
Personally or for your kids?
Personally.
Okay.
Well, I teach college, I conduct a university orchestra, but that university orchestra is like mainly community members, non-majors.
Okay.
So it's all different ages. But even still, I struggle to get that clarity out of them, you know, that beautiful, rich sound that sometimes, like a lot of times that comes with a really high quality instrument too, mm-hmm. and a high quality bow. But there's also something about the bow usage that I'm still working on. Like I went to this Paul Roland camp. That was so influential on me. My bowing drastically improved. But I know, I hear players, and I know I can still continue to improve on that, you know?
You?
Again, so personally?
Yes, you.
Oh, left-hand technique, mainly. I think my sound, my bow sound is my strength. Mm. Just left-hand technique.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking, like, Popper's etudes, like his cello etudes. Some of those, I mean, I used to have all those polished and they're just like, you know, they're rusty.
Sure.
But that's just the age-old problem of becoming a teacher is your playing can sometimes...
Start.
Yep, it starts to suffer after a while.
Yeah.
Oh, big time, yeah.
Yeah, so for me, that's why I say conducting is more important. What I'm working on is my conducting.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm taking lessons.
Are you really? How awesome.
I just... I don't want to be a beatkeeper anymore.
Yeah. Oh, I... Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be that. I want to make music with you.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, I can understand that. I really respect that, too.
A good conductor is such a cool thing to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I love conductors that get into it.
Do you know Todd Parrish?
I do. Oh, yeah.
Todd Parrish.
I don't. Yeah. I haven't met him personally.
The best high school conductor.
Really?
Bar none.
Wow.
Well, Aaron Hardwick?
I don't know him either.
I've seen Aaron.
I think
Aaron.
Yeah,
he did our districts.
Aaron's now at University of South Carolina.
Nice.
Conducting.
Awesome.
The dude is. But both I look up to the two of them.
Sure.
They're going to hear this, but. I really do.
I hope they do hear it.
They're so fluid, and they're so. I mean, I'm still getting corrections on, hey, you don't need to subdivide that.
Sure.
You know, I don't.
Yeah, the pros don't do it. I mean, your Bernsteins don't, your Karajans, they don't conduct beats. Conducting phrasing.
Yeah.
That's the trick.
But it is harder. I mean, you're right, when you're teaching like public school students, it's harder to conduct in that way and still get what you want out of them, you know?
Especially
it's really hard.
You only have five or six kids.
Right.
Lessons.
That's right.
See, I've changed. This school year, my goal was to not be a beekeeper.
Okay.
For my top group only.
Okay.
Top group only, so my top chamber class, grade five-ish, like not... be a beatkeeper, and when we get to performances, it's all phrasing. I think it works. It exhumes this kind of masterful approach to the music.
Yeah.
Like, hey, he's not trying to keep the beat. I need to get out of the beat.
That's
just,
right.
Like, make the music live a little bit more.
Well, we heard a group today.
Okay.
Big group. You remember it?
The big group. Yeah.
Yeah. Guy, Finn.
Massive group.
He started. They did a piece called Arioso.
Mm-hmm.
He just started with this rubber band, paint sideways, you know, what's wax the fence
mm-hmm.
from
wax on,
the,
wax
right,
off,
yeah.
Right.
The other, anyway, the
Yeah. Wax on, wax off, right? Yeah. There's another. Oh, sorry. Okay. Okay. And then there's paint the fence.
And he He just artistically side to side, and I'm like, yes, I'm sold.
Yeah.
And the group played that
way. They did. Oh my gosh, it was just like milk chocolate.
That's good to
melting.
Know because that same teacher did top two out of all the teachers I saw today. Top two as far as like his teaching for the 7 minutes.
That's exciting
he's
to see.
Legit.
Blew me away.
Good.
Yeah, he's legit. There's
no
doubt.
Was in charge and like hit every single detail. I was like, I hope he talks about this. Oh, he did that. I hope he talks about this. He did that. Everything.
Did you see the way that
so great?
It?
Yeah, that's what I mean. They're glued to him. Like
it's like
laser
it's
focus.
Like he's got $1 million on his forehead, and if they take their eyes off it, they're gonna lose it.
He's also energetic. Like
yep.
I mean, I think it helps too.
Yeah.
I think he was the best conductor we saw today.
It was really nice. Really
did
nice.
Did he use
work.
A baton?
I think so.
On stage, he just used his hands.
I think he did.
Just use his hands because I'm picturing the side to side, and I don't remember seeing.
But I mean, he did a good job. He had a baton because I saw him pulling down.
Yeah, he probably.
Oh, batons. That's like a whole other story.
It is a whole. Wait, so do you use a baton or don't you?
I make my own.
No way! Out of a chopstick and a cork from a wine bottle.
No, because they break. And I'm aggressive with my batons.
So how do you make it? No way!
I go to the craft store and get. I don't know if they're sewing. They're not sewing needles. They're not the small ones. Knitting needles.
Yeah.
But they're not that. They're not super sharp on the edge.
Okay.
And then I get like in the same store, like Michael's or any kind of craft store, they have like the wooden spheres that you can almost like thread with the arm.
Oh, yeah.
So I put that on the end, but then I can paint it and glue it because that's my grip. I'm not picky.
Why buy one of those Mahler, the new metal ones?
Because there's 50. Oh, they have metal ones? Because they're $50 to $75.
$35 at the NBA.
Oh, that's true.
Oh.
And
but
they
still.
They have one now that's black on black.
I have a hot pink one. Just saying. It's
or,
so cool. And it's glow in the dark.
Or make your own for like under $10.
Yes.
Because then
true.
I can beat the heck out of it and it doesn't break. And I could
and
conduct
it's personalized.
With a stick. Like, I love conducting because it's like me performing. Because it's like we talked about earlier, I don't get to perform cello as much because I'm teaching now.
Sure.
That's the moment when I get to perform. I love concerts for that reason because it's finally like my kids are going to play whatever they play.
Yeah.
I get to conduct.
I'm
going to
be me.
Do you find
yeah.
that when you're more fluid and you're conducting that the students are really like more open to moving more
yeah.
when they're playing?
Yeah.
So I feel like we see that all the time, and I wish more people would get out of this robotic. You know, we see this quite often.
Oh, yeah, when they
I'd
move
love
actually
see.
And just like
yeah,
that's really nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me one skill that you guys have that's special and unique.
Related to music, because I can do a handstand.
Oh, you should do a handstand and talk right
not
now.
On a podcast.
Come on, why not?
It's not video.
They're
it's not video.
That's okay. They'll hear the.
Oh
your
my
voice.
Gosh, I'm doing a handstand.
Wow.
He's not. He's full
so,
of it.
So
you liar.
Okay, so musically, like for instance, I have the loudest snap in the world.
Do it.
Well, that is audio snap.
Oh. Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm so sorry, podcast listeners.
Yeah.
We're still
so
alive.
Blood's going everywhere.
I'm ready. Now that you've done your special skill, my special skill is not a teaching skill, but I can whistle like a bird because I am a descendant of Snow White. So,
what? Dang it! That's incredible.
You can too. Yeah. See, we're basically a forest in here. I mean, I'm just saying.
The tongue. All right, listeners. The tongue goes to the back of the top teeth. But then you know how you guys can curl your tongue into a U? That happens on the back of the top teeth, and then you blow ever so lightly. Like you're hitting a high pitch on a trumpet.
And then you have to drop.
But your mouth doesn't look stupid. I'm like, ooh.
You have to curl the bottom lip really big, and then open your mouth really big.
What did you learn on this podcast?
I'm so sorry.
Man, special skill, teaching and music related. I don't have an answer yet, so I'll think.
I think
I liked your whistle.
I have. Thank you. Right. It's very useful from time to time. No, I think if there's anything like my probably the best thing is just I have a pretty good way of turning my students into a cult of Ammermanians. So
I've seen it happen. It's like I've seen it happen.
My students have been called a cult multiple times. Like joking, we're always joking because they will really it's. You know, we build a really solid team and a family, and they will.
Do you do the same?
Really go for it.
Idea.
Sort of, yeah.
Can I tell you that's the number one thing for my orchestra?
Right.
My emails go out like that.
LMS
family.
Yes, see, that's powerful.
That
and I will say
we're not the norm.
No, that's not, that's true. And I refer to my students as musicians all the time. So instead of calling them like student in the hallway, I'll say, oh, my violinists are over there, you know, or my musicians or whatever. And even judging, I call students musicians because I think it's powerful to start to identify that way. And then that just gets them like glued to us and then they never want to leave. And when they go to college, they'll continue that, hopefully. Because it's part of their identity, you know? At UT Martin, come study with me. I would love that. That's a great program. Yeah.
Sponsored by.
I don't think I have a special score.
Are you kidding me? Your sense of humor is on point.
I bet you're super sarcastic.
Oh my gosh, he's hilarious.
When I get super snarky when my kids make me mad. Like, oh no, that's okay, Nate. Please play on your phone while we prepare for assessment. We don't need the cello part right here.
It's actually happening.
I get so snarky.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And my kids roll their eyes. Just
so do you have red zone or green zone in your classroom?
No, well, I don't even know what those are.
Phone.
Oh, you don't have those?
Oh, no phones are allowed in rehearsal.
Okay.
What about in the school?
In the school it's allowed, but they know in the rehearsal they can't be out.
Okay.
So I'm making a new rule for next year.
Ooh.
Starting January 2nd or whatever day we get back from Christmas until the day after festival, no phones. Because I have green, like, if I'm working with the first violins,
yeah,
you're in the viola section and you're looking at Snapchat,
I don't care.
Yeah.
So annoying.
But when I say, okay, everybody, that phone better go down quick.
I had a student, a bass player, Danny Nguyen, if you're listening, I am calling you out, dude.
Nguyen?
Nguyen.
Address 642.
Yeah.
No, we don't know his address.
But seriously, Danny Nguyen, he was super into music. He was taking 4 of my classes, I think, his senior year. He's a music major now. Really serious kid. So he is in the back playing his bass. We're working on this grade 6 music, getting ready for assessment. And I couldn't understand why instead of looking at me, he's looking like to the right of his music stand on another music stand. I was like, what is going on? So I go back. There's Danny. He's playing. He's working really hard. He clearly has memorized his music. And he is FaceTiming with an alum. So there is one of our orchestra alumni, Ruby, I remember this, is there watching him play his bass. And he's like super into it. And I was like,
out
of control.
Was he playing
Was. And he was playing really well.
Then Danny, good job.
Danny, you're a slacker, but I love you. It's okay.
Phone's not a problem. Students
Nate,
out there.
Nate, it's a problem.
Yeah, that's right. Nate, you put that
Nate,
phone away.
You
I'm
can
taking
play on
it.
Your phone if you memorize your music. That's what you can do.
That's
impressive.
Right.
It's funny, I have 2 that same last name.
Do you really? Are they both amazing?
They're great kids.
Yeah. this kid, he was at district orchestra 1 year and he flooded all the toilets. He's this crazy kid.
On purpose?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure on purpose.
That's
right. But then
I don't know.
I see
you're
all
a lot.
Yeah, I see all these boys walking out of the bathroom laughing hysterically, and I was like, oh my gosh, where's Danny? Immediately I knew, and he's like, I think I floated the bathroom.
So yeah, it sounds like natural.
Yeah, no, he totally did on purpose. There were paper towels in the toilets. I don't know, but he's a music major now. He's fantastic. I don't know.
Are there any pet peeves that we have as teachers?
Yes!
My number one pet peeve as a person, teaching person, is when anybody talks over me.
Mm.
That's good to know.
I don't. No, not y'all.
And now we're
students.
Super silent.
Nope, I'm not going to say
no,
you
students. I'm telling you, if I'm standing in front of you and talking, you better respect that. Just
so,
like when you talk, mm-hmm. I'm going to respect you.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So we have that rapport in my classroom.
That's good.
I mean, I don't have to defend myself.
Mm-hmm.
They do it for me.
Man, that's good.
So that's probably number one pet peeve.
What's yours, Brent?
I think that the answer would be respect, but that's like a cheesy answer that makes
no
sense.
But
there's just so many like really rude people in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
I have like, so I've had 5 cellos break this year. 5 cellos break because my beginners, for whatever reason, even though I've talked to them about it, just have like no respect. And I'll be like, hey, can you not drag the cello across the floor? Okay. And then they'll continue to drag it across
the
floor.
Oh my gosh.
When it hits a chair, bridge snaps in half.
Yeah.
And I can repair most anything except a broken bridge.
That's
like,
right.
You can do that in the classroom.
Right.
So, you know, just don't be a brat.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Probably second pet peeve for me is when I stop.
Oh, keep playing?
No, you better not.
Can't stand it.
You get the look of death. I don't yell.
Yeah.
I'm never a yeller.
Yeah.
But I give a look, and my kids are like, uh-oh, he's giving scary eyes.
Good.
Good. We should say this is pet peeves, because we all have more than one pet peeve.
Yeah, yeah, those are two.
Yeah.
People playing after the cutoff, yeah, for sure.
Mine is, I can't stand when students are, like, arrogant about their own musical ability.
They think they're better than they are.
And, yeah, but I can't stand it when they put other kids down. Like, where they'll be like, oh, well, this looks like it's concert music, concert orchestra music, you know? And I would lose it. My students knew if they started making fun of another group or if they started putting down another group, like that arrogance, I would smash
that
in a
about.
Minute.
I just want people to be good people.
Right?
I just want you to be good people.
Yes.
Hold doors for people.
Right.
I saw a kid, this is a perfect example that I give this anecdote as a perfect example of what I mean. This isn't even being disrespectful, but I guess it is because it was property. I walked behind a cello player, and as this person was picking something out of their pocket, their phone probably, they dropped trash on the floor. Now, they didn't know I was behind the person.
Sure.
Walking behind them, I saw the person stop. I stopped too. They didn't know I was there still. I saw them look at the trash, shrug their shoulders, and keep moving on. Then it happened again right after that. They got their car keys out of their pocket, dropped more trash, stopped, looked at it, shrugged, and walked on. And I'm just like, this is what I mean. Perfect example. So, anyways, this is
not
this should not be a complaining curmudgeon moment. Sorry. I didn't mean to turn it into that.
No, but it's... good.
Yeah.
Just be good people. Pick up your trash.
Speaking of that, you should tell about your award.
Okay.
Please.
Do it.
Yeah.
So we give an award at our school for kids who take care of other kids. And it's the only monetary award we give in the orchestra.
Nice.
It's a $250 gift card.
Nice.
And nobody knows who's going to get it, and we don't give it if nobody deserves it. Like
great.
Last year, nobody deserved it. So the guy that we named it after befriended a kid in our orchestra that was autistic.
Okay.
Made him stay in the room with him, sat next to him on the bus. And
that's awesome.
But he didn't think anybody was watching. He didn't do it for any recognition. So another thing that we do in our orchestra that I'm just a jerk about is the guys always carry suitcases for girls.
Oh, that's sweet.
Always open their doors.
We call that chivalry.
Yeah.
Well, we do, and you know who fights it is the girls. So the first day of school, I tell the girls, it's not that I don't think you can do these things.
I'm writing these things down. I'm not texting.
Yeah.
I literally have a meeting with all the students, with the girls, and I tell them, here's the deal. I know you're a strong, powerful woman. That's not the issue.
Yep.
Don't you want these boys to grow up to be men
mm-hmm.
that understand and respect women?
Right.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's not a put down. All of you are stronger than I am. I get it.
Yep.
So, I mean, literally, get to Orlando after being on the bus for all those hours, the guys get off the bus, they line the suitcases up, they wait there, the girls come, that's mine, the guys carry them to the room, then the guys come back and get their stuff.
That is so nice. That's what I want people to have, chivalry.
Yeah.
I just won't accept
nothing to do
left.
With music, but everything to do with being a good human being.
Yeah.
We have free cookie Fridays.
Nice.
So if you have me on Friday, three or four kids will bring cookies, have to be store-bought, can't be home-baked because
okay.
of allergies.
Okay.
And the girls always.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Nobody even argues anymore.
Aww.
It's not even a great. The girls get to go. It's just become part of our culture.
Yeah.
And I had a parent send me an email saying, "My child will probably never remember anything musically from your class because he's not good at what he does. But he has become a better human being."
See.
That's
what it's all about.
Be a good
yeah.
human being.
That's it.
Yeah. When I feel like being arts educators, we have such a great ability to teach them to achieve greater humanity, you know,
yeah.
and to really pass that along. I think that what we do creates so much empathy in our students and things like this, you know, that team building, sense of team building and sense of respect for one another is really cool that we can
mm-hmm.
build over time together.
I think that's what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely.
I stopped trying to be, you know, this great teacher that makes professional musicians.
Isn't that interesting? Wait, Steve, so say this again, because Steve has won countless awards, and he is talking about having stopped being... Okay, let me just have him say it.
I stopped trying to create these little musical geniuses, and I just want people to learn. I think everybody has a call and a purpose.
Yeah.
And my job is to help you find what that is, not to make it for you.
Music
I would say, yeah.
And most of the time, 95% of the time, it's not music.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a girl that wants to go to space. She wants to be NASA. She just got accepted to Purdue, the engineering department. I'm just as excited for her
as
I am for my kid that's, you know, going to Juilliard.
Absolutely. As you should be. Yeah. Yeah.
I picked my festival piece this year because of that girl.
Wow.
Was it space themed?
We did the Hubble.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
Which is hard as crap for my concert orchestra, you know? But I did it because I just wanted her to know how important that major and that plan of her life is.
Absolutely, yeah. Man, that's so great. So let's talk, since it's assessment season, about piece selection, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
How do you pick your pieces for your groups? Because I feel like that can be so challenging. I struggled my entire teaching career, I feel like, to pick appropriate pieces. Every year I was like, oh, did I do it right? And I second-guessed myself all the time, wondering, is this the right thing? And then after assessment, sometimes I'd be like, yes! And sometimes I'd be like, no, what was I thinking? You know?
Well, Steve said something at lunch, making sure, like, it's okay, first off, if you go a lower grade.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no standard that says every middle school has to be a grade 3 or 4.
Sure,
every high school has to be a 5 or 6. Like, it's not true. So you have to appropriately choose level, but you also want to sandbag it, like you said earlier.
Yeah.
And just go after the scores, because we don't want those people.
No. Well, and your students, you want to feel that you want them to have a sense of pride when they're done, not like, oh, we worked on this for a few weeks, you know, because we're way better players than this. We want them to work hard for this.
Yeah. Is it worth going harder to challenge your kids knowing that they'll be better musicians, but it means you're going to get maybe a 2?
In the current assessment standard, no. I don't know if it's worth it.
I always would.
I do my own assessment now. I bring in judges and
yeah.
I think it's wise to push.
What do you mean in the current assessment climate, it wouldn't be worth it?
Well, I mean, I heard somebody say today in one of the counties, I won't say which one.
You all know which one.
If you don't score, I mean, you're going to lose your job.
Mm-hmm. What?
Well, you won't get fired. You'll lose that school. That's right. They'll put you
at
a different school.
And put you in a school that's...
Supervisors out there don't do that.
Well, and the hard thing about that is, okay, my kids had a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Judge was in bad mood.
Right. That's right.
Write that piece.
Yeah.
Sure.
How many times have I heard a piece? I don't care how well you play it. That piece.
Yeah.
I mean, it shouldn't be that challenge. So for me, I always challenge my kids.
Yeah.
Sometimes too much.
Yep.
And those years, I take it on the chin. And I'll tell my kids, I picked too hard music.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I told my kids going into assessment this year, my middle group, I set you up for failure, unfortunately.
Well,
now, they got ones, but it's because they pulled a rabbit out of their honey.
Pure magic.
It was magic. They couldn't do it again.
Yeah.
But you know what? To tell your kids that, to come out and say, like, I made a mistake. I picked music that was just too hard. I think that's also powerful for your students to see an adult like admitting to a mistake and admitting that sometimes, you know, we make mistakes too, and this might be a little bit too hard. And just saying that, I think that we're afraid to say something's too hard sometimes too.
Don't you think as educators, transparency is our number one tool?
It's so important. Oh my gosh.
See, you're both too young to have used
transparencies. They used them. Yeah,
when
I was
in elementary school.
No,
me too.
I'm talking about as a teacher.
No, yeah.
So I used to use transparencies. Well, what's a transparency? It's a clear piece of plastic that you write things on. My life should be transparent.
Mm.
That people get to write on and to create a life. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my life for myself. So when I share things with my kids, like for instance, I had a kid tell me one time, dude, you experience festopause, man. You gotta chill out.
Festopause.
Festopause.
You know, it's...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I said, okay, my commitment to you is you will never say that about me again because I'm not going to do that anymore. So when you see me doing it, you can nicely... You're not allowed to raise your hand and say, I'm festopause. You gotta talk to me one-on-one. And at the end of festival season, I said to the kids, I said... Any days of festopause? Girl raised her hand. She said, not one. And I said, does it make you happy? Yes. Did you work? Yes.
There you go.
So transparency, I come in if I'm having a bad day. The first thing I do is tell my kids. The first thing. Not so I can get sympathy, but just you have to understand, I'm not having a good day.
Oh, so. It feels so good sometimes to do that. Like, if you're just having a bad day and you're just like, look, guys, I'm grouchy.
I suck today. Y'all just need to stay out of my way.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and they get that because they have bad days too. And they want that same thing to be. They want to have that trust in you that they can go up to you and say, I'm having a bad day. I'll play, but just I'm having a bad day. I mean, wouldn't it be great if your students told you that when they were feeling that way? Man, that's pretty cool.
It is.
So choosing music.
Oh, yeah, sorry. We're so off topic.
It's okay. No.
I'm sorry, Brent.
It's midnight. So.
It is midnight. Oh, boy.
So how do we choose music? I mean, let's go standards. So my ninth graders, if they're an average group, I do grade 4.
Okay.
If they're an exceptional group like my group this year, I'll go grade 5.
Yeah.
And this year, I have two really special violinists. One that made 6th chair All-State. So I did the Bach double.
Wow.
Nice.
But I had to rewrite the bass part.
That's okay.
Because the bass part's the cello part.
Yep.
And it's so many notes, and my bass players are like.
Yep.
So we did that. So I pushed that group because I had just serious talent. My concert group does 5 or 4 or 5 split, never more. And then my chamber doesn't do anything by grade 6.
Yeah.
If they do, then it's on the phone.
Yeah.
So those are standards.
That's
generally standards, like not necessary.
They're not locked in.
No.
But that's kind of my rule. Is that better to say it that way?
Yeah, I think that's good. So out there, you need to figure out your standards for your group. I think
absolutely.
That would be step one.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're throwing this together right here.
Then step two, I think I stay away with my younger groups from classics. I don't do arrangements.
Oh, really? For your younger groups, no arrangements. So do you stick with like the Richard Myers and the Balmages, or how do you?
I do all of the original
pieces.
Yeah.
And the reason is, and I try to get as new as possible so people are not all doing it.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to judge to judge me by your group.
Oh, that's a great point. Yeah.
So
don't do night shift.
Yeah. Unless.
As a warm up. The girl did it
as a warm up, it's fine.
She did it as a warm up.
Yeah.
I thought it was actually pretty creative.
It was fantastic. Yeah.
Smart.
But yeah, night shift is one as a graded piece. I think that's one that is wise to avoid, but not necessarily. If you can really perfectly play it, that's a different thing.
So I try not to do with my younger groups. And then my chamber group, I don't do Mozart.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard a lot of people say no Mozart, no Mendelssohn.
Why no Mozart? Is it? I'm curious, my hypothesis is because it just bites you in the butt. Like, that's happened to me 2 years in a row, where everybody has their own opinion of what Mozart should sound like.
Mm.
And if it doesn't sound exactly like what's in their head, then
you get
docked. Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah. Also,
it's
syncopation. With younger groups,
that
syncopation, oh my gosh, sometimes they struggle. There's so many passages where they're like repeated syncopated notes. And young kids, man, that's just really tough.
Mozart has to be off the string.
Mm-hmm.
Has to. And it has to be off the string in the right part of the bow. Those two factors right there, you're going to spend every day. If you have a 90-minute class, you're 45 minutes of that class working on. And to me, I want to do music. I don't want to just do one factor. So that I stay.
So don't do Mozart.
I don't.
What was the other one you said? Don't do what?
Mendelssohn.
Mendelssohn doesn't
do
scare me because he's not as well known as Mozart.
It's true. It's just intense. Some of his stuff is so. The speed of the music, some of these symphonies, it's so fast, and it's just really challenging to get a clean sound out of your students when it's that fast, you know? It's like, what's that, Ruslan and Ludmila? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, I have maybe once heard that played well. That is just such...
I did it at summer music camp in upstate New York. Dude, we flew.
Oh.
That same concert we did Peter and the Wolf.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so much fun.
Yeah.
I did great music growing up.
That's good.
That's the thing that changed me musically was that camp.
That's incredible.
I think every educator should tell their kids to go to camp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if your kids can't afford a camp
raise
and they want to be music ed majors, send them as a counselor. That's how I got into camps. Or, raise money for them or find
or
a scholarship.
Sneak
or sneak in. Get them into somebody's suitcase. So sorry, we're back on topic. I'm so sorry, you all. So, Brent,
what
are your favorite you know, some of your favorite selections and or things to stay away from.
Favorite selections. Say again.
Can you go by grade?
No, I can't go by grade.
No, like, what's your favorite grade six piece?
No, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. No, off the top of my head. I'm still a rookie. My favorite warm-up piece for like top groups is Andante Festivo. I saw somebody did it today.
I don't think, but maybe tomorrow. Somebody's? We might be doing tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, somebody's doing it. But Andante Festivo is, because it's not a hard grade six. It's super easy. It just sounds pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to keep thinking. I like this. Go around the table and let's name some favorite pieces. So what you said, what was our step one? Step one, all right, stay away from Mendelssohn.
I don't necessarily
It's up for debate. It's okay. I love doing Mozart with my oldest group.
I would do Eine kleine Nacht.
Yeah.
Because they've heard it so many times that getting them off the string is easy.
Yeah. We did Mozart 38 and it was so great.
Did you do Todd's version?
Yeah.
I did that at the MEA.
I love that. Isn't it such
and
a
Todd
great arrangement?
It.
Hey now. But sorry, one of my all-time favorite pieces is Of Glorious Plumage, Richard Meier.
What a great piece.
Oh my gosh. Yep, there, every moment of it, the triplets are so moving, and what a great musical piece. I believe it's a grade five. Mm-hmm. Now I could be wrong. I believe it's a grade five, but oh, it's just stunning. Love that piece.
Yeah, my high school group isn't doing grade sixes regularly enough, so I don't have enough results on my head.
Ready? Best grade four piece that should be a grade five. So if you have a really good group, Baltic Dance.
Oh,
yeah.
It should be a five, though.
Why isn't it a
100%.
I did it this year.
How can we change this? Sorry, by the way, these are Virginia ratings for
Virginia
Band and Orchestra Director Association. A lot of people use our same rating system, and I think North Carolina did when I was teaching there. I believe they used the same rating system. So,
I will be talking in the grade four, grade five range. Because
sure,
another
that's
grade,
okay.
Grade five. This is straight grade. By Cohen, but it's called Serenade Trist.
No, never heard of it.
It sounds a little bit like Mary Poppins.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lot of wispy kind of, but it is super dramatic and long bows and not slow. If you have a group that can be musical, great piece of music.
Very cool.
And nobody knows it.
Yeah. And
so
that's extra special, that's
and
right.
And people are like, oh, I don't know this piece.
Have you guys heard of Adventures on Bainbridge Island?
I heard it at my last festival.
Yeah,
really
I heard
good
it
grade
once.
Four. My kids
okay.
loved it because it's very like adventurous.
Yeah.
Ooh, I love those like pulsating pieces. Oh
yeah.
Man.
We're gonna hear one tomorrow.
Oh yeah.
Have you heard America's Cup?
Yes.
I think is
She's
that
12-8, 9-8, 12-8.
Yes. Fun.
Yep.
A little Pirates of Caribbean action there. Yeah.
I want to hear that piece. That's a hard piece.
That
the viola part is just difficult because if they're not in third position, there's so many weird string crossings that are really, really fast. It's just hard to do.
Yeah, yeah.
I only know it because I have private students. I had to practice it for assessment last week.
Oh, I see,
That's
see.
A good piece.
There's another piece I played with I think it was a grade two or three. I had a group that was like a beginner mixed with a concert orchestra group. And we played... Dreaming, which I believe is Bromage's.
No,
yeah.
No. That's
yeah.
grade five.
No, that's not a grade five. There's
grade
no
five.
Way.
Brian Bromage's piece, Dreaming, I did it this year for a festival.
I must be thinking of something
it's
else
different
then.
Composer.
It's super slow.
Yes, really slow. And it's, I believe it's grade three, I think.
I don't know. I can look it up.
The one that I'm talking about goes into sixth position.
No. This is not the same one. No.
Yeah.
Cellos go into fourth at the most. Same one?
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's hard.
I don't think it's that one.
My freshman did it.
The one
year.
I'm thinking of, it cannot be a grade five.
It has a violin
really
solo.
Yeah. I don't think so. Mm-mm.
I'm looking it up.
Yeah,
don't,
go for
don't
it.
You guys
play it.
I believe it's Dreaming. I could be wrong.
Well, I'm looking up looking up on Vibota.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we played, it was so beautiful, and my students, it was one of the first times where I had a really young group of musicians love a really slow piece, like they just were obsessed, subdividing, like really enjoying the piece, it was so, so wonderful. And also Pavane for a Dead Princess.
Yeah, by FJH, Dreaming by
okay.
That one is
a
grade
four. So it's
a grade
four, okay.
I don't see any other
it's a grade five.
Okay.
Virginia, it's a grade five.
That's Vibota. That's the one you're talking about?
It was definitely...
We're looking at it on the screen for those listening.
I definitely played it with a young
Love
group.
Lies Dreaming?
No. The one at the bottom. Dreaming, Bombage's FJH. I only know it because our U Symphony is playing it right now.
Oh, wonderful. How are they liking it?
Good.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
Okay.
It's,
yeah. I didn't think so. I kept thinking it was a 3, but I guess it's a 4.
Is this it? Will you know it by sound?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's got really good chords, like major 7
chords.
Yeah.
I looked it up. It was a 5.
I don't
know. It must have looked somewhere along the place.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh. Yes, so beautiful.
We do this
so
oh,
pretty.
I love it. What a great piece. And like, oh my gosh, if you can get all of the musicians to breathe together right there. Yes.
I love those chords.
I do too.
So pretty.
It's beautifully done.
It's one of his best.
And that, yes, I agree. And that's such a good gateway piece into your Barber's Adagio, not to play, but like into
that's
loving that kind of music, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think that our young students, they struggle sometimes with slower music. They just do.
So next thing to think of is choose music that your kids are going to like.
Yes.
So they're not bored.
Yes, totally.
But you don't want to choose music that's just like super cheesy. Then, like, because sometimes it takes a little bit to gain a taste for music, so you have to be careful with that.
I think
rule.
It's also important when you're choosing music to break it up. In other words, like one of the people today, who I have a lot of respect for, did 3, his warm-up, his first concert piece, and his second concert piece, all were like balls to the wall. I don't know what else to say. They were just, sorry, that's on the recording. They were just like super intense, you know, fast energy. And I think that actually plays against you.
I think it can too.
I think you need to do a melodic. I told him on his recording, you should have done Shenandoah for your warm up.
Beautiful
piece.
Yeah. Yeah. I also love Danny Boy. Oh my gosh. The
mm-hmm.
Alshin
yeah.
arrangement.
Oh yeah.
Beautiful.
You know what's great for a grade 5 or 6 group for warm up is Shostakovich Waltz.
Oh,
yep.
Yes, with the pizzicato
yes.
and the. Yes.
I did it a few years ago. My kids are like, this is our favorite.
Yeah, it's a really great one.
I'm looking into my library.
This is good.
How you know that I'm old, because I have lots of music in this brain.
No, that's good.
With my group of guys that I mentor,
yeah.
I sit and I'll go over pieces with them all the time.
That's
yep.
so great. And that's so important.
People don't know how to choose music.
Now, did you all have a string lit class when you did undergrad? Because I wasn't a string major, but no, I didn't.
Oh, no.
But I wish I did, you know?
I wasn't a string major, so.
Oh, okay.
I was a performance major.
Okay, okay. I was piano music ed, so.
Can I tell you my story?
No, I don't think so.
Can I tell you my story?
Yeah, tell us.
Okay, so I go to college, East Carolina, on scholarship, and the two professors fought over me, and I thought I was going with this one, but this one got me. Okay, fine. He spent 3 years, every lesson, every week, working on my bow arm.
Wow.
It got
so old. That's
so
discouraging.
I wasn't allowed to do anything but bow strokes. And now my bow arm is really good, so if you want to help with your bow arm. But anyway.
Yeah.
So he kept trying to get me to change education.
Hmm.
And I'm like, dude, I have no desire to be a teacher.
Really?
I want to play.
Wow.
I want to make money.
Wow.
So I graduated, and I lived in Greenville, you know, a little town, and I loved my church. The best church. I'm like, I'm not moving.
Yeah.
I love my church.
Yeah.
There's no orchestra. What am I going to do? So I cut grass for 6 months.
Nice.
And I got a phone call one day from the music supervisor. This is what she said. So I hear you're interested in teaching. I'm like, ma'am, no disrespect meant, but I don't know who you heard that from, but you didn't hear it from me.
Yeah.
She said, so you're not interested? I said, no, ma'am. She said, well, think about this. We have a position open now. We'll pay for you your salary, and we'll pay for you to go back to school and get your education.
Wow.
So just think about it.
Yeah.
So I go talk to my pastor. My pastor goes, okay, let's think about it. Cutting grass, shaping kids' lives. Cutting grass in the heat, changing the course of our future.
And you chose cutting.
So now I said, okay, I get it. So I took this job, but I was terrible. Because I had never been in a high school orchestra.
This is not the job right now.
No, this was back in 1989.
Okay.
This was North Carolina. Mm. So I get the job, and I'm so bad, you guys. I'm so bad. I didn't know how to do a lesson plan. They're rushing me through. East Carolina's rushing me through classes in the evenings. You know, like clarinet class, with the dean of the School of Music, who was a former clarinet player. And percussion class, here's a timpani, this is how you tune it.
Yeah.
It was just getting me through it. Methods classes, it was so crazy. So I was so bad at it. And about 5 years in, I saw that stupid movie, Mr. Holland's
Opus.
Yep.
Yes.
And the little clarinet player comes back as the governor, you know, at the end.
Yeah.
And but in her time, when she breaks down in front of the teacher, she says, I just want to be good at something. My dad's good at this, and my mom's good at this, and I realized what my purpose in life was.
Mm.
And teaching became my passion.
Play the sunrise. That's what he says to her.
Yeah, play the sunrise. She gets over the break. And remember her face when she gets over the break? She's like...
And he's like, no, don't stop. Keep going.
Yeah.
We all have that movie memorized.
Mm.
So funny. We watched that movie with my wife and I, and she punched me.
Like,
honey, I'm not having an affair with a student. She's like...
Wait, he does it in the movie, though, right?
I know. I didn't think he actually had an affair, right?
He meets with her at the bus station, and she kisses him.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Oh, my wife didn't. I'm like, why am I being judged?
That's so funny.
I didn't do it. So anyway, though, so that's how I fell into my calling.
Wow.
I tell people all the time, if you just trust, your calling will find you.
Yeah.
And if teaching is not a calling, get the crap out of it.
Yes.
Because it ain't worth it financially, and the headaches will crush you.
Yep.
So teachers need to know, I'm here for a reason.
Yep. Wait, Brent, how did you find out you wanted to teach? When did you decide?
It's kind of in the blood. My mom, dad are both teachers.
Okay.
And I knew from high school I just wanted to do something with music. I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
Everything was kind of a mistake. I accidentally chose cello instead of bass because I was an elementary kid going to middle school, and just being smaller, you think it's a bass, but it's actually a cello. So that was a mistake.
I love it.
I love his sense of humor. You know he's not being
funny. But no, yeah, that really happened. And then, I don't know, Mr. Johnson, Chris Johnson, I don't know if you guys know, but he was my teacher in high school, and he just said, yeah, if you want to get into it, get into it. I just never looked back.
Wow.
It was one of those where you just step out in faith and hope that there's something to step on and just see what happens. And just kept going with it.
It's cool. It's really neat to see like how people get into teaching and how some people fall into it. And, you know, as we're teaching our own students, how important it is to keep them open to that. Like, I see so many teachers that are like, oh, you should not major in music. But like, some of you have told me about students that you have that maybe wouldn't get into a music program at many schools, but if they can get access to a private teacher, like to a studio teacher, maybe they could really improve and actually be a really great, you know, music teacher someday. So,
keep your kids open to it. A musician. We're just this whole podcast is called Nuggets of Knowledge because
I love it.
We're giving out so many random things.
True. Sorry.
But random fact 1031 that we've given this podcast. You do not need to be like naturally gifted to be in music. I don't think
as a performer.
No. You can be one of those work hard, just workshopping people that go home and somehow figure it out.
My feeder school, one of my feeder schools, the director's name is, my brain just...
Uh-oh.
Totally...
He still loves you, whoever it is.
No. Wow. What is happening?
It's okay.
I have Julie Knight, Nancy Monahan,
mm-hmm.
and...
Editing privileges. It's
my
okay.
brain is just... She's like my favorite. She's a clarinetist.
Okay.
She's
not even a string player.
Okay.
But she has become... She is the best strings teacher.
There you go.
Wow.
Her kids
incredible.
Are so incredible. And my brain is... Wow, it must be late at night.
Yeah, it is.
3 a.m.
I know, we should wrap it up fairly soon because it's 12:17.
You know the clocks are an hour.
I know, I just realized that.
My clock's like 5 hours off.
An hour and some. Also, my ice maker sort of works, but sort of doesn't, which is heartbreaking.
Do you need an ice maker?
Can you bring me yours?
She has eggs.
I also have eggs. Yeah, I can make breakfast for everyone.
You
See?
Brought eggs with you?
What kind of eggs do you like? Okay, sorry. No.
Mine are just hard-boiled eggs.
What happened to the nuggets of knowledge?
I know. Well, we're just finding out our egg preferences.
Idea down. A podcast, a talk about like mistakes you made when you first started teaching.
I hope you enjoyed listening to Steve Butzinas, Brent Eidelman, and the imaginary Don Brubaker this week as much as we did. Hashtag Music Ed Love would like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in, and we hope you'll take a moment to leave us a review on iTunes. We hope you'll return for our next episode titled Mistakes from the First Year. We hope that this week you'll be able to sprinkle a little stardust on all your students, uncover the greatness within a few more humans, and send those stars through the stratosphere. Happy musicking, friends!